97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. The day that this podcast is being released is the day that Phase 1 reopening is starting in the city and county of St. Louis. So that is very interesting and obviously topical and something that we will talk about a little bit with our guest, Jesse from Razorback Armory, here in just a second. This is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. And of course, my partner, Bo Matthews, is connected as well to the Matthews compound somewhere deep in a bunker in southern Missouri. Bo,
kind of true.
Yeah,
kind of true.
Anybody who missed the show this week, the radio show, of course, which airs on Saturdays at 3 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk and Sundays at 6 p.m. on KMOX. If you missed the show this week, you can go back and grab that podcast as well. Same place that you grabbed this one, the radio.com app. If you're getting this podcast not on the radio.com app, I would suggest that you check it out. It's a free app, and you can stream both of those radio stations on the app. You just favorite the station, and then you can stream the station. You can rewind live radio, and you can get the podcasts of this show and every other show on those stations through that radio.com app. It's really a really handy-dandy little thing. Our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory joined us on the show this week, and he's sticking around for the podcast exclusive so we can continue our discussion. Jesse, thanks so much for sticking around. For people who didn't hear the show, before we get started, remind them where you guys are at, Razorback Armory, how they can find you, and can do a little research. Social media, websites, all that good stuff.
So 12072 Manchester Road, half mile east of 270 on Manchester, right next to the tennis shop. Can't miss us. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, and RazorbackArmory.com.
So one of the things that we talked about on the show, and if you want to hear a longer discussion about it, make sure that you go back and you check out the show podcast, was the situation down in Georgia. And, you know, it's the biggest gun story that has come out in the last several months, the situation with the unarmed jogger being shot by the two guys who claimed that they were attempting a citizen's arrest and then claimed self-defense in the shooting of this man. And my opinion was that that was not an example of self-defense. It was not an example of exercising your Second Amendment rights. They did not, they were not doing the right thing by stopping him in the first place and starting a confrontation that ended in, of course, this man losing his life. Jesse, we were talking a little bit between the show and the podcast here off the air about that situation, and just wanted to get your opinions because you are you're very knowledgeable in the law and you know what you can and can't do as a gun owner. So strictly from that aspect, strictly from what you're allowed to do, what your rights are in this situation, what is your opinion on what happened down in Georgia from the aspect of laws and rights?
Sure. Well, from that aspect, I mean, you know, once all the facts are out and everything's clear exactly what happened, but going on the limited bits and pieces of information that we've kind of gotten in the industry and, you know, through media and that on the situation there, they confronted this gentleman who was quote unquote jogging, but he may or may not have matched the description of someone who is a burglary suspect or that, but they're not law enforcement. They really truly didn't have grounds to detain him because, and through initial contact or everything, most likely it's never been said that their lives were in danger. They were in fear for their lives where they needed to use force in trying to apprehend them. And then, you know, that's definitely a law enforcement job. That's something if they did see that, they could have called police, informed him where he was, you know, gave him description, general direction, vicinity, that information to let the police do their job. But you know, it's a responsibility, you know, with the right of being able, with Second Amendment, to carry a firearm. You also have the responsibility of knowing, you know, what you should or shouldn't do and how to use that weapon. And if you're, generally speaking, if you're not in fear for your life, someone's not trying to hurt you or a loved one, or if you're in your home or your vehicle, boat, you know, whatever, if someone's not physically trying to do any harm to you, mm-hmm. you're really not able to use that firearm.
Yeah,
okay?
we talked a lot about
something to threaten someone either.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show too, about the importance of, and we talk about this all the time, the importance of training, and yep. you know, and not only knowing how to use the gun safely, but also those types of things. You need your training also includes learning about the law and learning about your rights and learning when you can and can't, you know, fire your weapon. And yep. so, you know, from my understanding and what I've always, you know, been trained and told is that this was not an example of, you know, you can't stop somebody that you think is a bad guy and start a confrontation. And then when that confrontation doesn't go the way that you expected it to go, that now all of a sudden you can use your firearm. What is just to
you're the aggressor?
Yeah. When is it? Generally, what is the rule on when you are allowed to defend yourself with a gun?
So the statute is clear, but it's not, okay? Huh. What we tell people, or how we explain it in kind of easy to understand English, broken down as simple as possible, is if you are in fear for your life, okay, or a loved one, okay, so, you know, obviously they don't have to be attacking you, but let's say your wife, child, you know, or individual with you, okay, if is in imminent danger or fear for your life, okay, it's not because someone is saying, you know, not nasty things about you and telling you, you know, all these evil things they want to do to you because they're mad at you, or, you know, they're upset with you because they're, you know, not happy, but in imminent danger, fear of physical, you know, abuse, threat of life, you are able to defend yourself, okay, by any means necessary. I mean, if you don't have a firearm, you're able to hit somebody, you're able to swing a chair. I mean, you can defend yourself with whatever you have available. Mm-hmm. If it comes to it where you're in fear for your life, you are allowed to use your firearm to stop that threat, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the there's a line there, is how credible is the threat? And, I mean, if you believe in your heart, okay, in that situation, that this person means to do you harm, physical harm, hurt you, kill or hurt, maim a loved one, you're able to defend yourself. But, and you know this as well as I do in the world, a lot of people say, man, I'd like to kill that guy, or, you know, I mean, that guy's an ass, or, you know, mm-hmm. and do they mean to do you physical harm in that circumstance? Not really. You know, they're mad at you.
Yeah.
They're very upset with you, but they're not closing the gap to you. You know, they're not confronting you with physical harm. But if someone goes, man, that Bo Matthews, I don't like that guy, I'd like to kill him, you know, and I'm, you know, 10 foot from Bo, he doesn't
get a nickel for every time.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, you know, and it's a very specific situation where you have to look at that situation as it's happening and then dissect it to, is that something that, you know, required deadly force? And there's not a level of, you know, hey, this guy's coming at me and he's probably going to punch me in the face and everything. Well, I don't need a gun. Do you feel he's going to do bodily harm to you and hurt you and physically, you know, inflict pain on your being?
Right.
You get to stop him. Okay. Yeah. Now, if I pull out a firearm and this person's still aggressing towards me, I don't know his mindset. Is he going to hit me once, or going to hit me 30 times and keep stomping on me till I can't move? You know, so, you know, there's a lot of variables, but in the core variable, the core piece is whatever situation you're in, if they're going to do you physical and bodily harm to you or a loved one, or, I mean, it necessarily, I tell people, if you're going to get into a situation on the street where you see someone beating the crap out of somebody else and you don't know them, I will tell you it is on your personal, you know, whatever you feel to interdict in that. But if you came up to the story late, how do you know who's doing what?
Yeah, how do you know
who's the bad guy? And
yeah.
who's not? You know, I do want to I do want to interject here that the owner of the new construction build that Ahmad was in never reported a crime committed. The two guys, the father and son that did the shooting, they said there was a string of break-ins in the area. That was never true. There was never a string. So they're trying to cover up, you know, what they're, you know, as far as what we can tell from the news. But let's just set the stage. Okay, now, I'm not a runner. I don't know if anybody on our group here talking is a runner. But if you're out for a jog, just say, and a car pulls over, a truck pulls over in front of you, and somebody gets out with a shotgun, what are you going to do?
Right.
I think I would charge that person if I was unarmed. I would charge that person knowing that I did nothing wrong, because, you know, there's random shootings all the time.
Yeah, because you're not going to outrun the shotgun. So you
at that point you're
in a really bad position, and that's what he did. I think he knew that a gun had been pulled on him, and then a fight broke out.
It's a fight or flight response. Are you going to fight? You're either going to fight, you're going to turn and run, or you're going to freeze up.
Yeah,
you're not going to do
it. Yeah, I feel bad.
Well,
it's going to
be. I hope that justice is served down there in Georgia, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that story, obviously, and report on it as time goes on here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, of course, on the podcast here and on the radio show. Want to shift gears and get back into what is happening here in the St. Louis City and County as we enter into the reopening phase. We were talking on the show, Jesse, about how Razorback Armory has been open throughout this entire process, but now there's going to be more people, you know, going back to work and probably getting back out on the streets. What kind of effect do you think that's going to have on the shop and on the industry in general?
Well, I mean, it's definitely positive. We need to get people back working. We need to get, you know, everything going to what the new normal is going to be. We're never going to go back to the old style, the old ways, but, you know, however this is going to spin up and get to a new sense of normalcy where everybody can, you know, do their business, go out, meet with friends, do things in a safe manner.
What about the waiting period on the background check? I know for a while there, because there was such a run on ammo and firearms, and that was starting to take a longer time. Has that sort of stuff started calming back down, and are we back to normal times on that?
Yeah, we're back to what I would consider normal or reasonable. Our background checks that we do, we digitally go through it and everything. So I'm seeing consistent normalcy to some people get delayed. Some people, you know, get proceeded immediately. But those 30 and 45 minute time frames are pretty much gone now. Mm. We did set another record. Last month was another record month for firearm sales in the nation.
Wow.
Which is crazy. It wasn't the record before. It was a record for the month.
Gotcha.
If we break that record again, I don't know what we're going to do.
So March was the all time right record.
Yeah, exactly. March was all time record, and then we beat. And this is the second highest month ever for April, but we killed all other months again.
Yeah.
And I forget the exact number. It was published yesterday. I breezed through it with my thousands of emails, but it's an eye opener. I mean, in the amount of new gun owners, the new people to, you know, to a lifestyle kind of, you know, in going out and taking that step to get a firearm and be able to, you know, defend themselves, but also go out and shoot, which is nice because now with everything opened up, the ranges are opening back up. People can go out and enjoy these firearms and go shoot and do some activities since they've been cooped up, which are hopefully enjoyable to them now with firearms.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Bo.
It's just such a strange world. I don't know if you guys have had any anxiety during this with all the headlines and, you know, where's the world going to be in 6 months from now? I know we're trying to get Reback open. You know, I'm not trying to freak out here, but about four times a day, I look at my wife and I'm like, this is just so crazy.
It is.
And it really hasn't changed my life much because I don't go out that much anyway from the compound.
What but about it is the customers different. There, Jesse? What is the mindset of the people coming in to the shop? Are they, when they come in to
have
buy...
Have you turned anybody away said, no, I'm not selling to you?
Like, what is the... No, honestly, though, what is the... Are they... Because the world is weird, do they feel like, you know, it just doesn't feel quite right? I would just feel safer if I had a handgun in the house. Maybe I've never had one before, but I just feel like this is the right time to do so. Like, what has been... What's been the biggest motivation? Has there been like a common denominator throughout this thing as far as your customers are concerned?
I think a lot of the first time customers are looking at, you know, basically looking at wanting to have a firearm for protection, for having that that sense of security that you get from owning a firearm.
Yeah.
Hopefully, then they, you know, obviously we impress upon them, you know, it's not going to do any good if you just buy it and throw it in a drawer and hope you never use it. You need to go to the range, you know, you need to shoot it, you need to, you know, to practice with it, you need to know how to clean it, you know, safety, storage, you know, everything, load, unload, you know. And we've now, you know, and we've given out numbers to different ranges and we're like, hey, you know, when they were closed, I'm like, they're closed right now. They're going to reopen. This is... We're going to get back to a level of a new norm of being able to do things. So when that happens, you know, call them and go shoot, you know, get some training, you know, specialized training if you want it just with your firearm. We've got some trainers that do that, you know, just kind of work with them on that. But I think the main thing that everyone's kind of looking at is just, you know, a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I think this really opened up people's eyes a lot more that were just in a day-to-day kind of, I go to work, I go here, I do this, you know, and they're just kind of floating. You know,
I think it's important. I think people realized how important their Second Amendment rights are. I think this was kind of an eye-opener for some people that, you know, like, hey, I'm, you know, I was never really a gun person before, maybe didn't really want one in the house, but this kind of opened their eyes and they thought, you know what, I'm kind of glad we have these rights here in the United States that I can go get a gun and I can have that peace of mind. Before we wrap this up, just personally, where's your mind at? Are you ready to go to a bar or a restaurant or a movie theater and be sitting right next to somebody? Or is that still like something that you just personally aren't ready, a step you're not ready to take yet? Go ahead, Jess.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get back to normal as fast as possible. I've got a favorite restaurant, Hawthorne Inn, out in Labadie, Missouri.
They opened up love that place.
I'm kind of a regular. They opened up last week. We went there.
Let's
Saturday
just say this. Let's just say this. They know me, okay?
Dude, they know me. That that baked spaghetti is over the top.
Ooh,
oh,
nice.
I'm getting hungry.
Good. What about you, Bo? Are you ready to are you ready to get back out, or is that still kind of weird to you?
No, you know, I am. I've been getting out a little bit to, you know, stores when we need. But like Jesse, I mean, you know, there's restaurants that I absolutely love. The Doghouse down in Festus, Crystal City. The Hawthorne is over the top. Man, you just brought... Now I'm really hungry. But other than that, I'm a house cat. I'm good.
But right now, would you have any reservation about sitting next to somebody at a bar? Like, you're sitting there just having a beer. I mean, are you ready to be that close to people yet, or are you still not quite there?
Definitely not there.
What about you, Chad?
Definitely not there.
Where are you? How are you feeling on this?
Yeah, no.
No?
You know, working at a nightclub, I've seen some things that let me know that I'm not ready after getting off quarantine.
He could write a book.
It's kind of. I think we're kind of two for two, because I think I'm leaning more towards the Jesse. I think I'm ready to. I'm not really a big. I'm kind of a house body like Bo is myself, but I wouldn't. So I don't go to the bars and restaurants and movie theaters very often, just in general. But I wouldn't be. I'm not nervous about it. I was to meet a friend at a bar and we were going to be sitting in a restaurant and there was people around, I'm okay with doing that again.
What sucks though is live entertainment concerts, thousands of people at Riverport. I am gonna miss that.
There's the one thing that I am really missing. I have a lot of friends that are involved in the music scene here in St. Louis, And, you know, those guys are hurting because they can't play. And I am definitely looking forward to the opportunity to see some live music. Big venues, like you just mentioned, amphitheater, that's great. But I'm even just talking about, you know, in the bars and restaurants, live music. In fact, I work with a band, a Queen tribute band. Been on my other show, The Weekend Report, many times. I've emceed almost all of their shows since they started playing gigs a couple years ago. And we haven't even announced this yet. He's going to come on the show next week to talk about it. So here's a little bit of breaking news on the podcast. They have booked a show, an outdoor show in O'Fallon, Missouri. An outdoor park show in O'Fallon this coming July. So they have a gig on the books. Wow. Here in the area. So that's nice. That's a good sign that things are starting to kind of get back to normal. So go ahead, Jess.
It's a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sign. Yeah, I think the new norms are like no hugs and handshakes, you know, we'll kind of say what's up from a distance, you know, but still, you know, still want to gather and still, you know, maybe we'll do this radio show from the studio with all of us in it one day.
Maybe.
Nope, ain't gonna happen.
Maybe one day. Yeah. Maybe one day. Yeah, those days are isn't that so funny that, you know, that used to just be, there would be four of us in this little studio or five of us in this little studio just, you know, having a conversation, and it was no big deal. And now that would, you know, seem strange.
That's frowned upon at these points.
Well, more than frowned upon. But yeah, and even if it was okay, I think it would feel a little bit weird. And it's weird that that's weird. So, that's all I have to say about that. Jess, one more time before we let you go, tell people how to find Razorback.
So 12072 Manchester Road, DePere, Missouri, half mile east on Manchester Road from 270, right next to the tennis shop. Razorback Armory on Facebook, Instagram, and RazorbackArmory.com.
Great stuff, Jess. Thanks so much for what you guys do at Razorback. Thanks so much for all the support you give the show. And thanks to everybody out there for downloading the podcast exclusive and continuing to listen to the show on the radio and download the podcast every week. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. So for my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.